So, who can tell me what they got for Christmas this morning? Waffles. That waffles. So you didn't get that new car you asked for? I heard there's a nice Liberty out there, blue one, that I'd love to give to you, Jordan. Is that right? Did I say something wrong then? Who got what? Come on, tell me. Who got what? Have you? Now, I would love to try that. So if you could drop it into my office on Wednesday, leave it for a month or 2 years, just to make sure it works. And then if it works, Steve can buy a new one next year. How about that? Thanks, Jade. Anyone else? Who got what else? Yes, Heather. See, if a person gives you that sort of present, I want to know your definition of friend. They're awesome friends. I could borrow that. No, I think I'd rather have what Jay's got. Thank you. I'm old enough to be a dinosaur nearly anyway, so I don't need a suit. Sorry, Robin, did you have something to add?
You can wear it at the main music one
week. I could wear it and scare the kids like I did when I wore the big bear suit. That'd be fantastic. Who got what? I know what Corey's getting because he went and bought them for himself. No, that's a very sad jumper really, but that's okay. No, Corey's got himself a new set of golf clubs. Yeah. He broke the other lot. I maintain it was in anger, but he said it wasn't. Yeah. So who got something else? Yeah, Belda. No. No. But you see, the point is I do purchase quite a bit of that stuff through the year for my generous wife. She doesn't know about it, but just arrives and I say, thank you, darling. That's fantastic. Yeah. So we know it's a joyous time. And Stella and I, as we were sitting there this morning and just talking, and those kids in the neighbourhood were going woo-hoo and fantastic. It's just a joyful noise to hear the kids having so much fun on this day. But again, we come, not to lower the boom on it, we come with a perspective as believers in Christ or those seeking out faith in Christ to acknowledge what Jesus has done. We acknowledge what the Father has done by sending his Son. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning from a wonderful passage in Scripture that has implications obviously for us all. And we find this passage of Scripture in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in a field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from then into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known this saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen and as it had been told to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, which proclaims the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been prophesied throughout history. We thank you that we celebrate this day that happened some over 2,000 years ago, that we can rejoice in your goodness to us, that we can say thank you, and even though this is an ancient text and an ancient happening, the implications for our modern world are still right and true, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. So we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what state of mind you come this morning. Many different emotions, and we've said this every service that we have around this time, Christmas time. Many emotions come to the fore. You might have lost a loved one this year, and this will be your first Christmas without that loved one like we have. You might be separated by family like we are. Oh, we're starting to get there. Oh, that's bad news, isn't it? And you might be here from a different culture, different country, and you have your immediate family or your wife or your husband, or you're by yourself. Or you might have all of your family around you. But you see, it doesn't matter the circumstances you find yourself in so much as what this day represents. Because we have a Heavenly Father who cares and who loves us, who nurtures us, who understands what we're going through, how to overcome, and how to live in the circumstances. So I just want us to leave our circumstances behind and take a journey back to that time when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. How Jesus today might just allow us to transform our lives in the knowledge of what he has done and what God has done through him. The night where God became flesh and dwelt amongst men. The night where Jesus started his journey as a baby, who grew to be a man, who went into that ministry for 3 years, who paid the price on the cross, who did tremendous miracles, who moved amongst men, who called them to himself. And this significance is not jaded, it's not found wanting. He is the living God, the only living God in all humanity, who died on a cross and was raised again. So as we go back to this time, this night in Bethlehem, when Mary delivered Jesus into the world, there's a significant message being told. And I want to just move from the first part of the text into where a heavenly choir preached a message of hope, a hope of a journey, a soothing message. Now, I don't know about you, but if a whole heap of angels stood in front of me, which is normally our whole church congregation, you got to say that as the pastor. You might get tramping gear. Right, Richard? Sorry? What, my ears? Far out. No, eight. With a wide foot at the front. Yeah. And he says, fear not. Now, I don't know about you, but if an angel stood in front of me, not my wife, but an angel stood in front of me, I'd be petrified. And there's a soothing message that comes from the lips of the angelic host that says, fear not. What things do we not need to fear? He doesn't say it here, but we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear hell if we're a Christian follower. We're a follower of Christ. We don't need to fear the power of Satan. We don't need to fear our life, because we know that glory is coming. And that fear not statement didn't mean all of those things, I'm sure, to those shepherds who was confronted with this shining angelic host. And they themselves were shining. But he brought them good tidings. He brought them a message of salvation. And you notice who it's to? Not only to them personally and to you personally, for those that would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, but for all people, all humanity. How fantastic is that? This Saviour came for all humanity, that they might enter into a relationship with him, because we understand that he is a Saviour and he is a deliverer, and we know that picture of him on a cross, and we know the empty tomb. He is a true deliverer. He is a wonderful deliverer, and he is the Son of God, the Anointed One. And the Bible speaks of him right back in the Genesis, not by name. And those prophetic utterances as it goes throughout the text,
that he is the anointed one, the Son of God. And the most beautiful picture, I think, of the Lord, the one that we adore and the one we worship, and when we come to know today and we come to celebrate in this beautiful gift of the Lord's Son, he is sovereign God himself. He is our Lord. And he is the one that takes away the penalty. I'm interested, why did Jesus call a saviour? Well, we didn't need a teacher, but a saviour. If our greatest need had been an educator, he would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need had been technology, like Jade has, he would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need had been the military, God would have sent a soldier. If our greatest need had been for justice, God would have sent a judge. But our greatest need has, is, and will always be redemption. The forgiveness of those things that we do against, which we call sin, against the Lord. Therefore God sent a saviour so that we might not be punished for our sin. You see, that angelic host was pointing the way to Jesus. God's word points us to Jesus. The work of the angels was always to point people towards Christ, God himself. And we find this little place called Bethlehem where God intervenes in society and says, right, we better get everyone back to where this prophecy is going to take place in Bethlehem. I don't think that the ruler of Rome made that decision on his own. I believe if you look back to Micah chapter 5, you find that this is where the Messiah was to be born. And just at the right time, God intervened and everyone had to go back to where they were, where their lineage is. And it says in this text that they went back to where David was. And it's interesting that David, out of David will come the one. Out of the line of kings will come. This is no accident. This is God's intervention. And there's this shouting message from the angels. The shouting message that says, praise to God and peace to man. Do you feel very peaceful today? Right now you might. But it's a beautiful picture of what God has done. You see, Rome subdued the nations around them, and there was this idea of some peace. But that's not the peace that people were looking for. People were looking for peace with God. And they found peace. So the angelic host came to proclaim a peace. And they delivered it to these humble shepherds, somewhat outcast, somewhat lowly people, out in a field. And I'm not surprised that Jesus proclaimed, sent the angel along to some shepherds. Shepherds raised sheep. Some of those sheep might have found themselves in the slaughterhouses and the offerings that will be offered up for the forgiveness of sin. And I like to picture those images of here is God's Son, called the Lamb of God, who's come to take the sin of the world, going to shepherds first. What a beautiful picture. What a lovely picture. And I love their obedience, these lowly shepherds. Probably smelly, out in the dark with his sheep, looking after them, caring for them. And yet they went. The angels proclaimed and they just went. And they didn't go to the temple where they probably weren't allowed to go because they need a lot of cleansing and washing before they ever went into a place like that. They went to a barn where the one who rules over the temple was there and submitted themselves to him. It is just a beautiful picture of just hearing a message and just going and following. They took the opportunity to proclaim what they'd seen and what they'd heard and what the angelic host had said, and they went and said, this is what had happened. But I want you to see their circumstances. Where did they go? after they'd received that message. They went back to life. They didn't become the king and queen or the kings or anything perfectly great in status. They became simple shepherds once again. You see, their life had been transformed not from their circumstances, but from the judgment to come. And I think that's a beautiful picture. Sometimes we're always looking for that next thing, for that next thing, for that next thing. But Jesus makes a difference in his great purposes because he changes our heart. Has he changed your hearts? Do you follow him? Do you love him? Do you understand the power and grace that he exerts over all humanity? Our God is great. Our God is great, and we need to honour him and remember him as this day unfolds, as humble shepherds, as lowly people before a holy and loving and merciful God who gives us peace. And then we turn to the innkeeper. There's not a lot of detail there, but we know there was no room in the inn. And I've often been perplexed by that. If I had a pregnant woman knock on my door, perhaps coming in a Mustang rather than on a donkey, maybe, I hardly think I'd say, look, there's a little tin shed out the back, you can go in there. I'd probably throw one of my kids out of their room and say, you can have that room. But I know them being lovely Christian folk, they would say, that's great, Dad, no problem. But you see the dilemma we have here? There was no room. Mary was pregnant. It was busy. I know everyone's coming back to Bethlehem. And to me, it's a message of sadness. It's a message of sorrow. It's a message of not understanding. It's a message of no charity. I love that passage in Scripture in John chapter 5. And for this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you get the distinction, the line that's fixed? You either have it or you don't. It's the reality with a loving God that he gives us opportunities to say yes. He gives us opportunities to say yes. Not to a political campaign, but to a heavenly campaign. So we rejoice in him. What kind of message is Jesus preaching to you today through his word? What do you think of the shepherd's response? What do you think of the innkeeper's response? You see, at the end of the day, not a lot of that matters really, except for what Jesus is saying to you. He's saying, come. Rejoice in my goodness. Rejoice in my love. Bask in his glory, not our own. What describes you best? My prayer is that we will be sold out for Jesus. We're totally adoring him and loving him. It's the only way to live in peace. It's the only way to live a life that brings hope in a lot of hopeless situations. Do you love Jesus? I do. And I hope you do too. As I pray and the guys come up and we'll sing another couple of songs, I just want you to take one moment and just reflect on what this means. Whether you have waffles, technical gizmos that I want, no tramping gear, or a woohoo toy that the neighbourhood can hear, the best thing you can have is Christ our Lord and our Saviour. So just reflect on that. Just for a moment while the music team come up, and then I'll pray. And then with great joy, we'll sing the next two songs. at the close of the service in a little while, we'd ask you to stay. We have some tea and coffee out there and a few little cakes and things for you to eat to expand your stomachs, ready for Christmas, with great joy, lovingly prepared for us. So let me pray. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, we come today acknowledging that you are the one who sent your Son. He came in obedience, your word says that. He came in perfection, your word says that. He came as Lord, your word says that. He came as a Lord who was suffering of death, your word says that. Your word prophesies him, talks about his coming, talks about his death. Your word says that he's now at your right hand, waiting for us to call on his name, waiting for us to submit our lives to him totally. Your word says that he forgives us of our sin for those that believe in him. So, Father, what can we do but say thank you? We can't say anything else. We have nothing to give you but our thanks and our lives. So we thank you so much for who you are, what you've done for us again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.